What's up, Fool Podcast?
With Rodrigo Torres.
No, bro. You're you're the tiger name, dog.
Who's Space?
That was your name, Space?
Yeah,
spelled one. How?
Space.
S-P-A-C-E.
Yeah, man.
But wasn't that a hard, an easy name for someone else to pick up? Did you have to copyright it? Or
what? No, there's no copywriting. What is that? It's against the law, fool.
But like if somebody's name is, say like some guy's name is Decay, can another guy show up with Decay with a K or a C?
Yeah, well, dude, you're already fucking biting it anyway. It's a fucking common name, but it's up to you how much you get up in your area.
Because I know that Chaka, he said once Chaka got famous, there was a lot of Chakas.
Yeah, just like anything else. It's like a comedian that's all famous and there's 10 comedians that sound like him.
And they all want to be Dane Cook.
Yeah, fool.
I'm loud.
Doing the kicks in the air and shit.
I could do backflips.
But yeah, I wrote it regular style, though.
I remember, man, when I was drinking, I was drunk at the improv. And I was saying, this is my impersonation of Dane Cook. If you were to do be a Latino comedian. So, I was driving. Cars, freeway, stop lights everywhere. Police pulled me over. I'm Mexican. Tortillas, tacos. He asked me, do they have anything that's not illegal? You know, illegal. A paisa went back, somebody like that. And I said, what?
Get all physical?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
But now, like, That was his style, though, like screaming and, you know, kind of like Sam Kinison.
Yeah, physical and shit.
Yeah, we got a guy, our guest grew up, knew Sam Kinison personally.
Oh, hell yeah. He's a legend in the game.
Though. A legend, bro. This motherfucker was the only white comedian to win a black comedy contest.
Well, yeah, the Comedy at Theater, right?
Hell yeah, but motherfuckers were sad.
Him and Big Dog, right? First, sticking out, dude.
They were him and Willie Barceno, the only ones, bro.
Yeah, dog. I seen the plaque.
Everybody was the nickname lost, bro.
All the brothers back in the day,
remember
dog.
Remember a lot of those nicknames? A guy named Chopsticks. The Asian comic. No,
oh,
Sticks.
China Man, no?
Sticks was the one. Sticks. There was a black comedian, bro. I never met him, bro, but that fool got punched by, he was doing a lot of jokes about Nation of Islam.
Okay, you tell me the...
And he said they choked that fool off somewhere because he had said the joke about how he used to work for the Nation of Islam selling bean pies.
Uh-huh.
And then one time he sold so many bean pies, he got to meet Farrakhan. He goes, but man, I was embarrassed, man, because I had just eaten a chicken wing before I got there. I was eating ribs. I was eating pork. So I hit the pork under my sleeve. But then when I shook his hand, the pork chop fell off. But luckily, my white girlfriend picked it up. I forgot who that fool was.
There's a handful of brothers.
One Dexter?
No.
Remember one?
Yeah, he's too nice.
Oh, man. This is comedian. Man, you know, some of the days people show you photos of women on their phone. This fool showed up with Polaroids. A box of Polaroids.
But they were like the finest women ever. It was like, you know, like a fat black ant with their legs spread open. They go long ass titties hanging out. And what was his trick, though, to like, you know, now that he had a lady, what was his trick to like say that this was from the past? He put like a little
date.
The month and date from like 90, 92.
Like he'll figure out where did we meet my wife. I met my wife in 97. So he put the photo of 94.
Back when I used to wear cross colors.
But if you were looking at that Polaroid, you'd be like, wait a minute, man. Those Air Force Ones came out in 2010.
No, hell yeah.
So what's up for a lot of people have been asking, bro?
About what?
When you started being Tagger, bro?
Nah,
undercover,
dude,
Tagger.
I was undercover because this is what happened. All right. So when I was I wanted to be in a gang when I was a kid. I liked that shit. I like the culture. I like the old school dudes, how they're all creased up with their Pendletons and stuff. You know, not like a big ass long shirt.
But you go research and, gangs before joining one.
And,
by the way.
And, well, dude, if you go back on if you go in Orlando, the Orlando gang is Chicano gang. You know, we can I'll add the last access of it. But it's a gang that started in the '50s. So I mean,
what gang?
Orlando. That's where I grew up at. There's that. There's La Sierra on the other side. There's CB.
Orlando is in Riverside?
Yeah, yeah. And then there's Casablanca up some ways. And there's East Side that way. But, I mean, that's way far where I'm from. But, anyways, I've always liked drawing and all that shit. And I always caught on to it good. And tagging started getting big. The reason I knew how to write was there was these Italian dudes that came from Ontario.
Sicily.
They're actually Italian. Neapolitan ones. But the it was two brothers. They came from Ontario to Riverside. These fools got kicked out of school. They were in a tag group called
Michelangelo.
No, with Youth Gone Wild. And you can still see some of those old tags in Ontario and some even in L.A. that still exist. But I hung out with that dude.
We're going to paint these walls, man.
Oh, they're all painted.
Give Ontario a budget.
So I learned how to write through those dudes. And then tagging started coming to Riverside a little bit more. There was a dude that was from Florencia. His brothers were from Florencia. He got transferred out of school in L.A. and came out there. So I hung out with those dudes. And then when tagging started coming to Riverside, like more, like where the area where I'm from, I started, I was hanging out with those dudes. But that's when I started, that's when I was like seventh and eighth grade. But then in like ninth grade, that's when that shit started turning into gangs, dog. That's when fools actually started like fucking walking up to you and socking you up and doing all that little bullshit. But on that, and then the guys that you, there was a white dude named Vix that used to write for all those dudes. And he's the only one that had style. And there was another dude named Please that actually was a really good writer. And all the rest of them were like muscle, dog.
What do you mean, that's like a writer? Like they roll with a pen?
No, spray can.
Spray can.
Mean Streaks. Like
just
you know,
their name or a whole graffiti art like they do in New York?
No, those were even bombs. So you have to be better writer that, and you have to be quick. And you know, then you get pieces where you add color and you add flair and all that stuff and mix and match with.
People are going, Rodrigo is full of shit.
Full shit, whatever you want to say, dude. I mean, this is what I'm telling you the truth because I never lie.
Because that fool came up to us, remember, like, at that show, he had those tagging
thing?
He's
from Houston. He's a writer. But see, he writes now, but see, I mean, we're talking the shit I was doing back in like 92.
I remember hanging out with Joe Barone one time, man, and we're just driving, and the dude that was driving gets off the car and goes right to the wall. And I'm seriously, bro, we're on the way to a gig here.
But that,
your friend's gonna pull over? I'm fucking 30, dog.
Yeah, but that fool was banging, though, I think.
I'm like 30 something years old, and his friend pulls over and runs and writes on a wall. I've never seen that happen. I'm like, what the fuck? He just got off the car and rode on that wall.
And it's funny, though.
He came in the car. He goes, man, I got to put myself up there, dog.
It's advertising.
Let everybody know. So, bro, you know there's MySpace now, right? You can let a million people see that shit right now.
Yeah, dude. And then there's other famous writers like the dude that did the cover for the Beastie Boys album. Hayes, he was out here from L.A. The Check Your Head, he did that. And that's old school New York writing, dude.
My ex-girlfriend, she was young, bro. She was called tagging.
She got caught tagging?
Yeah, she was writing my name.
What was that?
Felipe Dub. What's up, fool? Okay, man. Enough of the tagging, man. We ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, man.
Nobody's believing us. All right, people. January 14th. You know what? My friend, actually, George Vasquez was the one that used to write Decay. I couldn't even write because my mom spelled spray can. She went searching for everybody in the house. And my dumbass brother, Juan, that motherfucker sanded all his Hot Wheels and put them on top of his bed with a sheet, a paper sheet, and started spray painting those motherfuckers on the bed, dog. And the whole house smelled like spray can. Yeah, he was the Earl Scheibel of the house.
Yeah, the best paint's like Rust-Oleum.
Idiot, dog. My mom fucked him up. Fucked him up, bro.
Which one was this one?
The dark one, bro.
Oh, this.
Raider Rahim.
Oh, shit. The flat top and everything.
Hell, he hit a flat top, bro. Used to play a Public Enemy loud.
God damn, dog. Do the right thing over
you're
here.
You're raging against my dad. Well, that fool. I never really tagged. I just wrote Batman wherever I can. They call me Batman, but I would draw a bat, a chubby bat, because they couldn't know it was me. And I put BM or something. I just leave a bat with a wing.
At an A, just say BAM.
I used to get mad when fools try to bag on me and call me Fat Man.
And yeah,
anyways, people, if you want to give Rodrigo Torres and Lisa Esparza, the manager, us, a special Christmas present, all we ask, because we have 10,000 listeners every week, all that we ask is for 100 of you guys, just 100, to go to iTunes and write a review. And we get 100 reviews by the end of the month. We're probably going to move up to 179.
Yeah, man.
And that's we're at 199 right now. So we're not selling you nothing. We're just giving you worthless information every week. We're giving you our dates. We're giving you guys shout outs. We're not asking for no donations. Some podcasts, or actually not podcasts, a lot of jazz stations on the radio ask for free money. Please support our show.
Keep it
We're
on
trying
the
to stay on the air. We're trying to bring you jazz every week. Man, fuck jazz. Jazz is done. I want to hear jazz. I go to Pandora. I don't want to hear your old ass white voice talking. Yeah, man, in 1975. Every time you go to a jazz station, please, I'm standing money. We're going to start a jazz caravan. It's going to start in Silmar. It's going to go to Panorama City.
All the way to New Orleans.
All the way. We're going to see cats. You know, we're not asking for no money. All we ask, if you're listening right now, to just pause and go to SoundCloud, write a review, write something. Let people know that you're listening to us. And that's all we ask. And we'll have a Merry Christmas.
iTunes too, huh?
iTunes too. Also, next week, we're going to have a live podcast show. Live podcast show. A Christmas podcast show where we're going to bring some of the old guests, our favorites. Shit, we might have Juan Garcia showing up sweeping. Also, shout out. The week after the live podcast.
Yeah, man.
Also, shout out to these fools right here.
To BP Roots for his story about the devil.
Oh, my God. I don't know if you know
this. Sorry,
dog.
That shit is hilarious. So shout out to you,
dog. Dante know who the devil is, by the way. Nada, what the fuck, fucking puta? You know who that is? What the fuck, puta? What the fuck you do for a living, fucking puta? Fucking La Puente, bad boy, dog.
Look, I need some Kleenex right now, dog.
It's the fucking La Puente, bad boy, dog. Fucking Dante, you fucking booked you at fucking Casa Latina. You don't fucking remember, dog? You know who I'm talking about, right? So we call that fool the devil on the show. You made our Christmas, dog.
You're fucking killing us over here, dog.
You made our Christmas.
And thanks to Red Star Scream and Mr. Potato Head 909. And
you got any fireman stories, dog?
And Strange Music Box for the nice iTunes reviews. Also, shout out to Raquel Fuentes from your boyfriend, Carlos. These guys had tickets to Felipe's Ontario show, but couldn't make it because of a family emergency.
But they're solo man Craigslist.
Yeah, man. And shout out to Ty Goodwin, who listens to the podcast in New York City. He missed us when we were there last time because he was broke. We'll probably be back in the summer.
And shout out to our listener on from Detroit for leaving that comment. And yes, Reverie will be in Detroit, so go check her out.
And Chicago this weekend.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Also, man, I was I got to be on Baby Bash's music video.
Yeah, I seen it, dog. Fucking, you and chilling with Flaco.
Louis the 13th.
Oh, yeah. We had that big ass Louis
Flaco showed up, bro. I don't know where he came out of, bro.
What's up, bro?
Bro, sorry, bro.
So, how was that, dog?
It was good. It was shot by E-Dub from Pocos Pero Locos. Mm-hmm. And it was good. You know, there was a lot of people gambling, though, like during the video, like our ballers.
Dice,
it's been a long
shit,
time since I've seen some people play dice, bro. And they were shooting like $40 a row. Not to get seven, to see who has the highest dice. So these five guys put in $40 each.
God damn.
To see who gets the highest number. Then it got crazier. Then they were shooting $60. Then it was $100.
That's what I call balling.
Let me tell you, man. When I had less money, like right now I could just say that I make $250 a week. You know, but before I was making $250 a week, I only had $40 in my pocket. I would have jumped in there, bro.
Double it up?
Hell yeah, bro. I would have jumped in there because when you have no money, it's when you get desperate, man.
Yeah.
The stakes are
when
high.
You got
though.
No money, man. Like, oh, man, that guy said he'll give anybody $100,000 if he makes out with him. And you're like, bro, well, we're only going to make out, eh? So $100,000.
Hope this ain't no joke.
Yeah, man. So they were gambling hardcore there. They have a new box of rolled up joints with Snoop Dogg's face on them.
I seen it was
the
red
Merry
color,
Christmas
huh?
Snoop Dogg.
Oh, hell yeah.
$100 for the whole pack.
Kind of worth it, though.
Five joints, though.
Those are big-ass joints.
Big-ass joints.
I think, what, like a gram and a half? At least.
And like every other place that most performers or people go to, motherfuckers showed up with a clothing line. I mean, how many hip-hop artists have a fucking clothing line, though?
How many fools
have you gonna have? How you going to have a clothing line if you ain't nobody, dog?
You got to start.
How you going to compete with Nike?
Gucci.
Oh, come on, man. So, yeah, they were there. Yeah, Felipe, man, when is your next show? Man, we could bring you a bunch of gear. Okay, you're here now. Give me the gear here. Let's go to your house. Give me that shit. Why are you going to be at my show? Get in for free. I don't want to exchange tickets for shirts. Fuck shirts. I have shirts.
It's the ghetto barter system, man.
Yeah, bro, we're going to bring a bunch of shirts, dog. And they're all ugly. Like, they're all ugly. Like, when you buy a Nike shirt or Adidas shirt, you don't see Adidas all big in the front with a fucking crow on it.
And that big ass thing when you'll be sweating in the summer.
That's funny. Our engineer probably has the clothing right now. Yeah, man. I was about to tell you guys some All Things Comedy shirts, but I fucking changed my mind.
American Apparel shirts.
Anyway, bro, our guest had a funny ass joke one time, dog.
I used to say it a bunch of times.
He had that joke where he said that a bunch of black fools wanted to get white, and it went to their house, and they said it cost like $500 to be white, but they don't have enough money, so they all pitched it for one guy to be white, and the other one couldn't be white. And when he came out, he said, "Yo, man, hook us up, man. Fuck you, motherfucker. Get up, job, you black motherfuckers."
He also did this. I've never seen it, but you told me about it back in the day at the Comedy Store. He used to do an impression of Andrew Dice Clay. But it
Andrew
was
Nice Clay.
Yeah, it was the backwards or the reverse.
I took a photo.
This guy sounds terrible.
The horrible person.
Back in the trenches with Big Dog, bro.
What was this one, eh? Then he was like, "Yeah, it's the girl from the States, and now the chick from that night."
Oh, my God. I can't believe you remember all these jokes. I mean, I'm so embarrassed right now.
Yeah, no, that's just tight.
Wow,
man.
That is horrible.
Bro, I remember the legends, bro. Only the legends. The people that I look up to, bro.
Yeah, dude. People that
walk into the show, bro, when it's fucking dead as hell, and the last fool got a standing no, and everybody's afraid to go up, and there was like a few people that would show up, bro, and kill it. Dante, Gabriel, Willie. That's it. Nobody else.
Thanks,
nobody man. Else. Nobody else. Gabriel was saved them with the sounds. Willie, the attitude of being loaded. And Dante, just between white and Italian from San Diego, bro. Out there promoting, bro. Hanging out with cholos and shit. He's the one that brought Bobby Lee over here.
Ah, oh, dude.
When Bobby Lee was wearing his fucking overalls. He was wearing fucking...
And giant hair, remember?
And giant hair, yeah.
Yeah.
And a big ass head. All right, anyways, fool. Upcoming shows. January 14, Miami, Florida, at the James Knight Center. I'll be a guest. Remember that, people. Quote that. A guest on Michael Epps' tour. Michael Epps' tour. I'm just going to go up, do 15 minutes, then I'm going to go back to my room and hide. January 21st, Los Angeles, California. I'll be at the Novo in downtown LA. They added a second show, 10 o'clock show. January 27, Atlanta, Georgia, at the Punchline. The only Punchline that books me. February 16th through the 19th, I'll be at the Tommy T's. Because that fool's the only one that books Mexicans and blacks.
He does.
I love you,
he
Felipe.
He does. Tommy T's.
Up in Placentia, right?
Pleasanton now.
Oh, is it Pleasanton?
Yeah, man. Tommy Rancho T's Cordova. Used to be a steakhouse. No more steaks.
No more steaks.
No, too expensive, bro. February 23rd through the 20th. That was coming into the fucking bonus money. Well, Tommy T's is crazy, dog. He books black fools, Mexican fools, but we're like hanging out. We're eating breakfast, and then like these wiggers show up, these white guys who act black, but they were like hanging out. Yo, man, I tell you what, whatever, right? But they're talking black. They're talking jive. And then Tommy T goes, "Man, why you guys sound so black?
I've been coming to all your shows, dog."
Go to your shows, man. Anyways, man, so Tommy T, I'll be there, man. Tommy T is the only guy that wears shorts more than Gabriel, bro. He's got very with shorts on, bro. In a fucking softball mitt.
Coach.
Also, February 23rd, I'll be at the February 23rd to the 26th, San Antonio, Texas, at the Improv River Center. That used to be called the River Center Comedy Club. Now it's an improv, so I guess they painted the walls, bro. Changed the green room. Oh, my God. That green room. Did you see that movie of Ray Charles with Jamie Foxx?
Yeah.
And he walks into Ray Charles' room before his first record deal, and he's like, and church right now. And it's on a little ass house with a little ass iron bed and an iron heater.
It's a little tiny.
That was the green. That was the comedy condo at the River Center Comedy Club.
Wow.
Yeah, man. That comedy. Dante, man, I was going through some hard times in 2008. I started partying with people at the Greyhound station. Somehow I gave them the code to the apartment. When I left, they all came in there and stole everything.
Is that true?
They wasn't held down to the floor, right?
By the time I landed, the TV was gone. I was in the air while they were robbing the place. They took everything, dog. They took the bed, the TV. They took lamps. They cleaned. Finally, somebody cleaned the place, bro.
Wow.
It was sad, dude. It was so sad. Oh, and the bartender got fired, too, because he was the last person they saw with me.
That's an accomplice, dog.
Back,
he drove you home, but he was told to.
Yeah. Before last comic standing, I was the one guy you should have hung out with. Like, if you had a joint and I was in the car, we were going to get pulled over. Anyway, so that's that, bro.
Oh, so, my God.
Getting back to cleaning up. So you see all that damage I caused before 2010? Mm-hmm. So when last comic came around and I made it to the top 40, I said, fuck this. I'm going to start calling friends of mine who are last comic standing to make sure I don't fuck this up. So I called up all the top 10s like Dante and Alonzo Bowden, and they just told me straight up, man, just be yourself. Throw in a little tear every once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. He told me just be honest. Because I'm going to go in there trying to be cool, you know, like lie.
Trying to be
cool. You know.
Fronting, dog.
Yeah, fronting, trying to be in there like the devil and shit. Yeah, man, I fucking sold out. Made a $500,000 on fucking Jimmy Neutron. You know what I mean? I'm fucking known at the Hop. I fucking sold out 7 shows.
Oh,
fucking
shit.
Steven Steakhouse.
He gave me the key to
I
the city,
I got Rudy
dog.
Moreno hosting.
Wow.
Oh, anyways, man. So, Rudy Moreno is going to have a Christmas show. Anybody wants to go to it? I don't know where it is, but if you want to give him something, give him some Band-Aids for his hands. No, for real, dude. Oh. I was doing the cover God casino, damn, and Joe Diaz showed up late, right? He showed up really late, and I saw him the next day, and I said, Joe Diaz, what happened? I heard you were late. Oh, it was horrible. I was fucking late. I thought you were going to fucking choke me with those Band-Aids.
Fucking Rudy.
I thought Rudy was going to choke me with those Band-Aids. He looked like a fucking mummy.
That's when the movie The Mummy was coming out, though.
Yeah, wow. Rudy Moreno, bro. He won the East Los the Comedian of the Year, bro.
Like a consecutive year in a row, huh?
Yeah, man. Beat out everybody, bro. All the greats. Juan Villarreal.
Ernie G.
Who else, bro?
The Dancing Cholo.
Oh, shit.
I couldn't believe he beat Luke Torres.
The travesty, though.
Oh, man. Shit. So, yeah, man, he got to open up for Tierra for a year. He was the Grand Marshal at the Southgate Christmas Parade. That was 1999, bro.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah, man. So.
But there he
is. He's in a band right now, bro. They're called, what's the name of the band? Gorilla Monsoon, bro.
Gorilla Monsoon.
Hell yeah, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Who is?
Arizona.
Mellow Man Ace?
No, Rudy Moreno. He's in a band called Gorilla Monsoon.
Plays bass or something.
Yeah, man. It was like, it was the class of 76. The band should be called. Called the class of 79.
Called the college year.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Willie G said, stop doing his songs.
Wow. Wow.
All right, people. We love that guy.
Yeah, man.
When he's asleep. What's up, fool? I'm right here with fucking my tiger buddy right here. You just finished tagging?
Yeah, man.
What's up, fool?
Chilling,
our guest
dog.
Right here, man. All the way from the comedy store. This guy used to roll joints for Sam Kinison.
Yeah.
Give it up for Dante, people.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
And Rebecca.
Yes.
Scream Queen.
Yes, she's a scream queen. It's
Rusty O'Lelly?
Yeah, but I don't use it. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because you know, I always knew you by Dante.
Yeah, just Dante. Yeah.
And even like she goes by Rebecca Cochin, which is her full name. But I never put my name first because then it sounds like Dante and Rebecca Cochin, and people will be like, "Hey, Dante Cochin." So this is my fiance, by the way, and she opens for me and blah, blah, blah.
There were three Dantes when I started off.
There was that brother Dante?
There was Dante, that's the drug dealer Dante from Joey Diaz. That was Dante from the Martel Cartel.
Really?
From Martel Street. And then you're white Dante. And then there was Dante Garza, the Latino one.
Oh, that's right.
Where is he?
He passed.
No.
Yeah, he passed.
You know what's messed up? You know that that book, Stories from the Road or whatever? They put me in it, but they put Dante Garza as the story.
That sucks.
They're going to recredit you on the reprint?
They did on the reprint. Okay.
That guy, when that guy was trying to get a – when I gave that guy my story at the Comedy Magic Club and for the road stories, and I had a good one, but, you know, they want to get everybody's approval for the story. But I'm the kind of guy that doesn't return phone calls. Or I don't pick up the phone call. I don't know who it is. And then she didn't leave a full message about what this phone call is about, so I never called her, so my story never got on.
Damn, that's weak.
What was your story?
It was about, I think, Kinison's funeral. I went there, and what's his name? Carla Beau was the last speaker at the funeral, and he went up there, and he's just bawling his eyes out. And at the very end, Richard Belzer walks up to him and grabs him, and he goes, "Hey, man, come on, get off the stage. It's okay, buddy." And he's crying, and he runs back to the mic, and he goes, "By the way, I'll be at Igby's all week."
It's a nice plug, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't around when Sam Kinison passed away, but Willie Barcena was. Bro. His ex-lady was trying to be with me the whole time.
So was the lady from Selena. The lady killed Selena.
Yeah, bro. It was sad, bro.
Wow.
And I was like, stop lying, dog.
Well, the old Willie would have taken that shit, right?
We performed at a casino about, 8 months ago in Seattle. And we go, who do we get drink tickets from?
Oh, yeah.
And they go, no more drink tickets. We had a comic last week. Fuck that up. Yeah. And I swear to God, I said, was it Willie Barcini? He goes, how did you know?
The legend lives on. You can't kill the beast. God damn.
With him or Gene Pompa, bro.
Yeah.
We work with Gene Pompa. And, you know, like some people, like this fool showed up. He hit his own to-go cup. First of all, you know what it was?
One of the little
kids' Chuck E. Cheese cups.
No.
You're shitting me.
It was one of those kids' cups.
Like a sippy cup.
A sippy cup. And a straw in it already.
The cops are going to know what's going on.
Wow.
The cops are going to notice this 50-year-old man who looks like Edward James almost.
It's fucking swerving.
Swerving. Pulls over, looks like Billy Bob Thornton.
Sling blade, Billy Bob.
Little bear.
What do you got in that sippy cup?
A little sippy cup, bro. A little dash.
Don't forget the flask, dog.
And, wow. And hear the flask.
He can handle it, though. This is a crazy.
He just doesn't stop, huh?
Nah, he's an all-nighter, dog. I don't think he starts functioning until about 6 p.m., dog.
I can never, I feel like something like being myself an alcoholic, I always feel like jealous that I can't drink and be normal like Gene Pompa. I turn worse than Willie Barcena. I don't want to fight. I want to leave that party and go look for coke, which is worse.
Yeah.
That's the worst, huh? Did you ever get caught up in that?
Man, no, right? only with Kenison, I did it a couple times, but I was never like.
I know that you were never a party animal.
No.
Businessman.
Business. Yeah.
Since day one.
Yeah. And I'll smoke a little weed or have whatever, but I'm not trying to get so high that people are making fun of me or dragging me home or, you know, we've all seen those comics we've had to like put in the back of a car and figure out where they live. You know, I've done that a million times or drag someone down the street from the improv. And they're trying to tell you where their friend lives, and you're just going around the block carrying a half dead body. It's crazy.
You feel bad, man. Like, even if it's a comment you hate, you don't want to see them on the street like that. You probably just help them.
Yeah, right? Well, the thing is, you don't want nothing fucked up to happen to them.
Like a brotherhood. Then he dies. Man.
I mean, that's fucked up. You're the last one to see him.
He'll die on your watch.
Yeah, dude, that'll be the most fucking. Even if you do hate him, it's the most horrible thing ever.
Oh man!
Like I remember, Willie. I would drive Willie home because that fool couldn't drive. And I remember her walking up the stairs. He couldn't even walk up the stairs, bro. He's like climbing up the stairs like Spider-Man, dude.
You didn't throw him over your back or anything?
Hell no.
The Mustang days? Damn, dog. We used to get fucked up.
You ever get that fucked up?
No, I try not to.
You? Maybe when you were doing the Miller Ice commercial?
Man, you have the best memory about everything.
I know, this is like
oh my God, I feel like it's a trip down memory lane.
Biography.
I didn't know. I just know Dante because he was hilarious, right? Leather jacket. And everybody wore a leather jacket after that, dude. I don't know if you started it, but everybody had a
leather. Was I really wearing a leather jacket?
No, not you, but everybody after you did.
Hilarious.
Because you started wearing a leather jacket, and then Willie was wearing a leather jacket on stage, and then Gabriel Iglesias had a leather jacket on stage, but that fucking leather jacket was huge. Gabriel had one of the leather jackets that came with a hoodie.
No!
And a belt.
No!
That was like eight cows tied together.
Yeah, for real. But he was pissy one time, and we tipped him over, bro. Yeah, man. Well, Gabriel had to get rid of the hoodie, man. He sold it to two girls to make miniskirts. So what was it like when you got started? When did you get started?
86, man. I started in November, so it's 17? 30 years. Yeah, I was 14 years old, yeah.
In San Diego?
In San Diego. And I went to the Comedy Store, and Faison Love was the doorman. And he and I went to high school together. He was like 3 years older. Oh, so man. I knew he wasn't 21 either. And I was like, how'd you do this? And he's like, look, man. Be cool. You still look pretty young, but tell them you're 19, and in 2 years, you can tell them you're 21 when you're like 16, and you can be a doorman here. So I had to run in and out and do my shows like that, and then finally, you know, he vouched for me. I showed up with a fake ID. No one even asked for it because I had spent 2 years running in and out, and next thing you know, I was a doorman at 16.
La Jolla? Or
La Jolla, yeah.
La Jolla.
Yeah.
So you were there with a guy that we bring up here sometimes, and I only see him once every moon. I only see this guy when I don't want to see him.
Oh.
Like I'm standing somewhere. Peter and Chan. Then he'll just walk up to me on the side. He goes, hey, Felipe, how you doing, man? Long time no see. Frank Manzano.
I never see Frank Manzano anymore. Wow, that's crazy.
Bus stop, right?
I was coming from an audition, and I was catching a bus on Hollywood and Vine, and he was leaving work, and I saw him right there.
Frank Manzano looks like he could be your, like if your shadow was old. Like if you had an old shadow.
I seen it one time when he was real big, and then I seen it one time when he was like really like skinny.
Yeah. He lost a lot of weight, dude. He started walking to the Comedy Store. Yeah. It was crazy. There was a guy, Fred Burns. He was the manager down there.
That was his roommate.
Right.
He passed away.
Everyone like fell apart when he passed away. Frank. Like disappeared.
Yeah,
the other friend who was his roommate killed himself like a year later. He couldn't handle that Fred died. Like it was crazy.
Dude.
It was crazy. But Fred helped start like a million people. Me, Bobby Lee. Like he was just a mentor.
He was the guy in the
crutches. Yeah.
Oh, dude, that guy had a crazy ass joke that he did one time. He would like this. He'll have one of his friends call him up and he'll do this. Is my impersonation of what's the guy who sing that song? Eric Clapton. Then my impersonation of Eric Clapton. And he had one of Freddie Burns, we had one of his friends yell out, Eric, where's your son at? And then that fool stick a straw out like this. What?
Yeah, he was a sick
dog.
Fuck.
He was a sick fuck, bro.
He would have loved Rebecca because she's a sick fuck.
I know. I'm sad I never got to meet
Here's
him.
Here's how sick she is. She hosted the AVN Awards 2 years ago, and Showtime had to take us out to dinner and tell us that two of her jokes
were
got
too
cut.
Dirty.
Too dirty for the porn awards.
I'm not joking. I was like, you can show like a triple anal gangbang, but my like well-written Holocaust joke is too much for you people. The answer is yes, it was.
It has to be a Holocaust orgy story.
Yeah.
What was the joke?
So the joke is I go, oh, you know, my mom came to visit me last week and she was like, Rebecca, I really want you to get pregnant so I can adopt the baby. And I was like, Mom, you have the worst timing ever. And she was like, what? You don't want to talk about this right now? And I was like, no, if you just would have told me this a week ago, you would have saved me $600 and a trip to the doctor's office. But then I go, I'm kidding you guys. I don't get abortions, but I do take the morning after pill a lot, right? Like a lot. And sometimes I feel a little guilty about how many morning after pills I've taken. Not that I've taken that many, but let's be honest. honest. I'm a Jew, and this oven has probably killed more Jews than a Nazi. It's a great joke. And they
Showtime
cut it. And
cut
they
it.
Freddie
cut...
Burns would have loved that joke.
Yes, he would have loved it.
Yeah.
You know what's funny?
He would have stood up with one crush. Yay!
So I get that that's a Holocaust joke, but listen to
No, it's an abortion joke.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. But listen to this innocent joke that they cut.
Oh, yeah. So then I have a joke about my stepdaughter who's
daughter.
Right, right. And I go, my stepdaughter came up to me last week and she was like, Rebecca, how do you know when a goldfish is pregnant? And I was like, well, because the blackfish stops coming around.
They cut it.
And they cut it.
They cut that fucking joke. Like, how innocent is that?
Yeah, this lawyer at Showtime was like, that's inappropriate. I was like, it's all inappropriate. This is the goddamn porn awards. Right. Like, what are you even talking about right now?
Wow, they're cutting everything now.
Damn, dude.
I know, crazy.
Going soft over there at the AVN.
But
huh?
Isn't it interesting? I bet you, because she's also a woman, that joke she did. But if you were on NBC's Last Comic Standing and you told it and said, my girlfriend is Jewish, she's probably killed more Jews than a Nazi. I bet you it would air on NBC.
Mike DiStefano would have won with that joke. Mike DiStefano, the late Mike DiStefano,
yes.
He would have got away with that joke.
By the way, she has a story about this poor guy. Mike, remember, your aunt would call you about him.
Oh, my God. My aunt played cards with him in the Bronx. My family's from the Bronx. And for years, she was like, oh, this fat fuck. I can't fucking stand that guy. Fuck him, right? Like that. She was always talking about him. She would actually send me, like, unflattering photos of him, like, playing cards with, like, his gut hanging out and stuff. And then he died. And she was like, oh, God, I loved him. Oh, I'm so sad that he's dead now. Like, but yeah, for years.
After we have 50 texts of this poor fucking guy.
She was like, that fat fuck. I can't fucking stand him. Yeah.
Wow.
He got away with that after he didn't win Last Comic Standing. He goes like this, fuck you, America. And they just bleeped him and it.
Did he really say that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Did they show him? Like,
yeah.
Wow.
He flipped out the finger, though.
He flipped out the finger and he was. I guess you guys didn't choose me. Fuck you, America. And he flipped out the camera, bro.
Oh, yeah, my God.
They cut. They told me not to do Guitar Hero joke. Don't say Guitar Hero.
Is it because it was a commercial?
Yeah. Don't say the Guitar Hero and don't sing the song from Black Sabbath. And they told what's his name? They told Roy Woods Jr. not to do the Wendy's joke. He has to say fast food joint. But Mike DiStefano saying that he likes to get drunk and be naked with a bunch of puppies. They let that through.
Mike DiStefano said, yeah. When heroin feels like...
getting high.
Right. Doing heroin feels like...
Yeah, being heroin feels like being in a pool naked with puppies.
Right.
Heroin's all right.
Yeah,
right.
Well, it's because I get it. It's commercial sponsors. But yeah, that's still an inappropriate...
Oh, it's ridiculous.
...joke, probably for TV, because little kids watch that show and probably vote for you. Right?
They cut off my joke, too, on Showtime when I was doing the Russell Simmons Presents. I said that my wife, but the cops always show up at the wrong time. They always show up when I'm choking her ass now.
They cut that out?
They should have shown an hour ago before when she called me a gay guy in front of my mom.
They cut the whole joke or just that part?
The whole joke.
That's a funny joke, dude.
I had tags, bro. I said, man, come on, man. You know you feel bad when you come out of jail for domestic violence. You look around. There's broken glass everywhere. You take a deep breath and you go, I can't believe she didn't fucking clean this place. I guess she didn't learn her fucking lesson. You know, and then I was saying, you know, it's tough to make up for beating up somebody after you beat them up, you know. You take them out to Disneyland. It's kind of uncomfortable, you know. Everybody's smiling, but she's wearing a neck brace. But Mickey Mouse signed it.
There's no looking back.
Wow.
So how did you guys meet? But you were married before, right?
Yeah, I was married before.
You were in a family feud with your ex-wife.
Yeah.
And Louis Anderson.
Oh, my God. How do you know all of this stuff?
And you were like, didn't want to tell him a comedian because you didn't want to get through a long conversation.
Yeah, this is like the biography of your life today.
You know what? Amazing.
People are so, all my friends who I come to the show are so fucking prized that I know them all.
You do know everything, dude.
Yeah,
like you're really the history
impressed.
Of comedy.
Yes.
You really are. Like do you remember
E2 Hollywood?
Wow. So she and I met just through comedy. She it was a nice little story. But
Greg Dean, no.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
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 What?
Greg Dean's Greg probably
Dean. Class. Yeah, we met in class. I was at 25 years doing it.
That's right.
I was like, Greg, can you help me?
She took a little open mic under the wing.
Yeah. So we met. I used to run that.
Did you give her the
bowling alley
go to my house and write jokes?
Yeah.
No, I did that to him.
She
actually.
Did that to me for real. She brought me over to her house to like help her with her material.
Yo.
And next thing I know, her boob is hanging out.
Yeah.
Damn.
That's yeah. How it
that
works.
Never happens to me.
And it couldn't have happened at a weirder time because I was going through a divorce and it was like I didn't even want to be around women and all of a sudden I'm like falling in love with this girl and it was crazy.
Ramon had a girlfriend. He was not around. That was your homeboy, right?
Who? What?
The guy with the weird leg? Raymond?
Oh, Ramos.
Ramos.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're not even Uberta? Friends anymore.
Oh.
That's okay.
All right.
Yeah, nothing weird. We had a podcast together, and then we stopped being friends because I took him off one of our fucking Twitter photos,
yeah.
And he threw a fucking fit.
What
we never
the fuck
talked
is
again.
Up with people that do that?
Yeah,
dude.
I don't get it.
I got friends that act like that. Hey, bro, you didn't even tag me on that Twitter page.
And
I was
like,
there,
what?
Too.
Who gives
like,
a fuck?
Who gives a fuck? Tag yourself.
Yeah.
Retweet it, motherfucker, and put your name on it.
There you
right.
go.
I know. People are nuts.
Yeah. It was you know how, like, if you have a Twitter page, there's the background photo and then the main photo.
Right.
He's in the main photo. Background photo, though, because he's handicapped, he always has to be on the end. He has to hang on to a wall. and so that front
fucking wall
picture,
leg over here, eh?
Right.
Fucking kickstand.
God damn. So the main photo would always block me because I was always in the middle. So we had a good picture of me and Rebecca.
The fuck, Dante? Got me out here like a fucking gimp over here.
Let him out the cage.
That's right, cocksucker. I have to delete that motherfucker.
Fuck him. Yeah, he got all cripply in my photos. I had to take him out of one.
Sorry, bro. This is an E-Fun photo, bro.
So we can get this motherfucker some Heelys. I'm going to start scooting around. Get the fuck out of here.
Wow.
That was your road dog. You
no, I love, look, you, I don't you, even hate the man.
You
I don't.
Helped him a lot.
I loved him. He and I were best friends for forever. He was a very nice guy. The fact that we stopped being friends, it broke my heart. But, oh well, shit happens. Like, yeah. You've seen it, I'm sure. When you start going off and doing things, like, he was also upset that, and so have many other comics, that she opens for me. She's a good comic. She's a great comic. Like, she has her own fame. And it's like, we live together. Why wouldn't I be bringing both monies into our house instead of giving it to someone else? Like, I did that for you forever. Go get your own work now.
And that's
like,
supposed to be their spot.
Yeah. Like, they got mad that, you know, she's opening for me. It's like, go make your own money.
I hate when they do that, man.
That's like, our relationship.
I take Rodrigo with me since day one, day two, day three, day five. Nah. And they go like, yeah, we already hired a feature. No, fuck that. Cancel that. I don't give a fuck. Cancel that feature. But then they told us, well, we booked you for 6 months ago. I said, well, you booked me 6 months ago. You should have asked me first. I bring my own feature.
Good.
Then the guy goes, well, I can't unbook him. Well, let me tell you, man, you're going to unbook a headliner over that feature who doesn't bring in nobody?
Right.
Right.
He goes, that guy does a lot of promoting. For who?
Right. Right.
For me? For I don't us. Need to promote for me.
Guess what you call that feature now? You call him the MC.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Then he goes like, Then they go to the wall. He has merch. Well, fuck his merch too. Right? I don't give a fuck.
He needs his own table.
I gotta sell merch because I gotta make money, bro. I gotta make money too, dog. So you can't sell merch. They get upset. Like, dude, if you ask me to sell merch the day of the show, most likely I'm gonna say no. If you ask me 2 weeks before the show, I'm still gonna say no. A month before the show, I'm gonna think about it. Then the day of the show, I'm gonna tell you no.
But Dick, there's already a headliner selling merch. What are you gonna fucking lug in your fucking bag, dude? Enough, dog.
Hilarious.
Chris Fonseca, bro.
Oh my god.
Yes.
Just the other day. Can I do a guest spot? Sure, bro. You can do a guest spot.
So to roll in there.
Where was this?
Colorado. Can you,
yeah,
do,
of
a, can you do a guest spot? Can I do a guest spot? Yes, bro, you can do a guest spot. You're doing a guest spot. His fucking wife and rider who drove him around with a big old box. When I sell my merch.
Oh, man. On a guest spot?
You can tell a guest spot, bro.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a guest spot. He's not even featuring for you.
No. I said,
dude, I love
I
him.
Said, yes.
You said yes. Oh, you gave in, dude.
Yeah.
You're supposed to treat handicapped people like they're everybody else. I can't believe it, man.
Looking all injured and shit.
I would have been like, no.
It's a bad spot to be in, though, dog.
Come on, bro.
Dude, he's a great guy, but yeah, it's like, I don't know. That's hilarious that you gave in.
Yeah, dog.
Because you weren't just going to disappoint him. You were going to disappoint the people carrying the boxes.
And then what happened, fool?
Well, it's a funny one. Russell Peters is there that same week. And then I go hang out with Russell Peters that one night. He's there before his big-ass show. And I told him that he said he went like this to me, right? Because I just happened to mention Chris for a second name. And he goes like this. He showed me this, his phone. Yeah, you got this, though. And he has like 10 text messages, 20 missed calls from Chris Fonseca, right?
Oh, my God.
And he gave him the guest spot after all. But he showed up 4 hours before the show to the theater for my guest sound check. And he was trying to get VIP parking and trying to see where the merch guys to count his merch.
Oh, my gosh.
And finally, they said, oh, hell no, man.
Wow.
You just canceled him right
Hey,
there.
But you got to give him something for tenacity.
Yeah, like,
that
absolutely.
Guy is.
Imagine that fool standing everybody. On two legs.
He would have done shit, dog. He was standing on two legs. Hell no, he would have been winning.
Oh, my God. We're performing at the Denver Improv next week. I should be expecting calls, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
He'll be there.
Oh, my God.
Fucking nerve, huh?
He has a new shirt that's called, it's orange. He has an orange shirt. With him, with the wheelchair. What is orange is the new?
Orange is the new black.
Orange is the new black, but it's just him.
I don't get it.
I don't get it.
Oh, he has a bag of Cheetos.
It's like a callback to his joke.
Yeah, because okay, you know he turned his dick all orange by touching it.
Got it. Got it.
Old famous joke, huh?
You know him too, Rebecca?
Yeah, absolutely. He was in that the DVDs we produced.
Yeah,
right?
We produced it was something called the Crippled Kings of Comedy, and he was on it.
Your homeboy
who was in it, Pops.
Pops Cozio.
I never got a call, bro.
Wow, that's a great impression, dude.
Yeah, I've known that.
Wow, if you guys don't know Pops, this is perfect.
Hey, man, is she with you, bro? Hey, Rebecca, can I have a hug?
Fucking clamping on your old lady.
Oh, my God,
can you sign
dude.
My Scream magazine?
That is so good, dude. What an impression.
He has a face of fear on him before he talks, so I think he makes you scared, huh?
Hey, bro.
Oh, my God, you made me snort, dude.
No more spots left on your crippled tour. So, bro. We had him on the show with his father.
So yeah, dude, I do it in front of him. It's cool.
Yeah, so what? Who cares?
It was a funny show with that fool eating it one time when he went on stage and he caught a mic cable.
Oh my God. Yeah, bro.
Went down like a helicopter, dog, and took the drum set out.
It was one of those old gigs that
in Lake Elsinore, dog.
It was one of those gigs that Patrick the Gear books.
Oh yeah. My God.
Pencil me in.
Dude, Patrick is like the king of merch. This guy sells merch like a crazy man.
Well, there's a funny story about him, too, though. He opened up for George Lopez. George Lopez made that motherfucker sell merch outside, dog.
Hilarious.
Willie Barcena had a meeting with him, bro. I told him to sell his merch across the street from the theater.
He's another one of those.
Oh, my God.
Though.
Every time I think of Willie, I always think of Showtime at the Apollo. Do you remember when he got booed off?
No.
You never saw it?
I never heard of that
story. Oh, my God, dude.
I didn't know he got booed.
Here was the worst part.
Same, bro.
It was a standing O, bro.
Because here's the thing. He was killing. He was crushing it in the clubs. And then all of a sudden, he goes up on stage and he's like, hey, first words out of his mouth, black people, the reason I don't like you, boo!
Idiot.
And like, they start, he's like, wait, black people, the reason I don't like you, and they go, boo! And I think it was Steve Harvey or somebody comes out and he's like, hey man, you're at the Apollo. This is Willie Barcena. He's a great comic. You guys give him a chance. Willie, you can't come to the Apollo and say black people, you know, whatever. And he goes, go back out there and do some new jokes. Willie goes out and he goes, you guys weren't letting me talk before. All I was going to say is black people, the reason I don't, boo! And that was that. He was out. They pulled him right off stage.
Let me get my point across.
Okay, Sandman didn't want to come out. Wow.
Give him a little sweep. Damn, I never heard that story, fool.
Never, bro.
He hid that one from us, too. He hid it, bro.
I'm sure it never re-aired. I saw it live.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Wow. You have to be next?
What?
You have to be next?
I don't know, man.
It was the regular showtime at the show.
And you were next to perform?
No. I was just watching it, like, you know, at home.
Oh wow.
Shit.
Yeah, okay. I wouldn't. No, thank God I didn't have to go up. No. Thank God I didn't have to go up. Thank God. Like, did you have any weird stories? I'm sorry, I'm interviewing you now. On last comic, was there anything weird that you felt like, okay, that's a little weird or shady or?
No. Only when we were all together at the last comic standing, like the top 40, when the main guy, he said, we're not going to have a house. He just said, we're not going to have a house. He just agreed with it at that moment.
Weird.
He just, we're going to give what the comics really like, just a competition. And that was it.
So you didn't know going in?
No.
See, us either. We were supposed to have a house, and they gave us just hotels and put us up sequestered. Did they sequester you at all?
No, not at all.
Wow.
And everybody.
So you just got to go home?
Yeah. We were.
And that's why Gabriel got kicked off, because he was sequestered, right?
Yeah.
There was one time, I think, for 2 days. Everybody had, I think it was
the top 10, we had a hotel one time.
Right.
But everybody was sequestered, and everybody tweeted the winner out before everybody knew.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah. Now, did they come pick you up from your house, or did they just tell you, meet us here at
meet
this
us
time?
There.
Oh, weird.
So after every night, I would go home, and then the next day, I'll go back.
Wow.
So every day, I didn't know if I was going to come home or not go home.
Damn.
Wow.
Suspense, dog.
Yeah, was it
man,
fun?
It was fun, man. Like, I got to meet a lot of people, like the main guy, I forgot his name, from Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
Mr. Belden?
No. He means the producer. What's his name?
Oh,
Peter.
Okay.
Peter Ingalls.
Peter Ingalls, yeah.
Peter Ingalls. I got to meet Peter Ingalls' family and his neighbors and the neighbors' cousins, because they were all fans. So they would all show up, and I would take photos with them. And I was the only one taking photos. They didn't want to see Roy or Tommy or other guys.
Did you feel nervous?
Hell yeah.
Right. Didn't you feel like you're going to have a heart attack every day?
I thought I would have shit on myself.
Yeah.
Bro. The hard part was writing the jokes word for word, because as a comedian, I've been doing it for like 15 years back then. I was lazy by that time. I was just writing one word and remembering the
right,
whole
joke. Right, of course. Wow. And then did they make you like change a word here and
yeah.
there? Yeah.
I couldn't say guitar here. I have to say.
But anything
that.
Else? Were there any other words
no,
that were
no
like
word.
No bad words or something?
No bad words.
Did they let you say bad words?
No.
Because I've seen some comics on there where they just bleep their whole set.
Those guys didn't care, man.
Huh.
But some people like, now some people were, like I know that Roy and the other guys, they were like thinking about what jokes to write next. I mean, I was ready, bro. I was like ready. At least I was writing the jokes and I was just saying them.
Wow. It's crazy.
We're putting the best 5 minutes.
Show by show.
Yeah.
Oh, but the hard part was the background check.
I know, dude. All of that was going to give me a heart attack. I felt like they already tell you you're on the show and then you could be pulled at any time, because they tell you there's going to be lawyers calling you. There's people, detectives checking you out, right? Were you nervous about that?
Bad on you? Huh? I was. They find it bad on you?
No.
They found shit on me.
Did they what?
My brother, Angel, that fool used my name to commit crimes.
For real?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh my
God.
I
never knew this. Identity theft happens in your home, okay?
Oh, my God.
If you have a family.
And I love that his name is Angel, too.
If you have a family of 5 or more kids, the chances of you getting identity theft from a family member is rising. So my brother committed crimes on my name.
Wow.
And the private investigator found like a bunch of me not going to court. I'm out on bail right now, and that's a warrant out for my arrest.
Wow.
My brother running like a maniac in Mexico right now.
But they had a mugshot.
So
it proved it wasn't you.
No, I had to show a picture of my brother and then a picture of me together. And then they had my brother, like, he's like a professional criminal. He had no MySpace, no phone number, no ID, no social security number. So he could just, you know, he's Jason Bourne.
Under the radar.
He's Jason Bourne.
Found one photo of him with his daughter, bro.
Wow.
And they put that photo together and they found out it wasn't me. But there was another comedian that's a New York comic. And I noticed when they were filming the top 20 or 40, they put him from the middle and put him in the edge. And then when they shot the TV program, they cut him out.
Oh, wow.
He was never on the show. Nobody mentioned why he got kicked out. He was just gone.
Wow.
Yeah, they kick out a lot of people. But I remember people throwing fits.
Really?
Getting
because
kicked
of
out.
That?
Yeah. Like, I can't even remember who the comics were, but there were like 10 comics that threw a fit that they were got the phone call even after they were told that they made it to the semis or whatever. They got a phone call from lawyers going, sorry, you're out.
Because of questionable pasts?
Who knows? They didn't even give him a reason.
That would have been crazy how that. So they don't want a guy go, yeah, that, like George Perez. He got in trouble with the MTV, Yo Mama.
Yeah, he got busted because somebody seen him on that show, and then they reopened the case. I don't know, some battery assault or whatever.
Yeah.
Really?
And he ended up doing 5 years.
Wow.
He was doing stand up comedy to a very closed audience. He was calling me every night from his jail prison cell.
That's crazy, dude. Do you remember that other comic that was going around to colleges and raping women?
Well, he's in jail, right?
He's still in jail. Yeah. That's crazy.
Larry Old. Omaha told us that story.
Dude, one night, do you remember T.P. Hearn? He was a black comic.
Yeah.
We were at a gig, and we were sitting at the bar, and T.P. Hearn was supposed to be on the show, and it was me, and do you remember Robbie Perrone and a couple other people? We're watching America's Most Wanted, and I shit you not, dude, they showed T.P. Hearn on it and it says reward, and I don't remember what it was for. I think he ran out on, like, child support, but, like, I swear to God, we all ran to the phone booths, and we're dialing the goddamn number, being like, we know where he is. He's about to be at this show.
And the first person
who got through goes, you guys, never mind. He's already taken care of it. And so that was it. It was over.
You remember the Willie Barcella told me about this black promoter that I think he worked for UPS, but he was a promoter and he used to pay other comedians good. But one day they arrested him. He was a bank robber the whole
time. Dude, he's the guy who ran that funniest black comic in LA contest that I won. He called me from jail 2 weeks later because I kept calling his number going, so you promised me all this work and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, Dante, I'm really sorry to tell you this, but me and all my bouncers, we were bank robbers, dude. I'm in jail. He goes, but I want you to know the FBI, they watched all of your shows and they thought you deserved to win.
Dude, that guy.
No Russian hacking involved.
Long story short, George Perez was locked up in prison, right? Forever, for like 5 years. He met that guy in prison.
Crazy.
And he goes, I met a guy that said he used to book comedy shows, the rank robber. Yeah, you know him? Yeah, bro, when Antonio Merlin Martinez died, he got all sad.
Wow, yeah, dude. That guy was crazy. It's like... He's out, I think. I think he called me like a year ago, that guy. But yeah, I used to get a call and it'd be like, this is the such and such correctional facility. And then he would just call, hey, I just want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I'm like, Jesus, dude, that was like 10 years ago. Wow. All right, good talking to you, buddy.
Reaching out, dog.
I remember like back then, man, the comics were all thugs, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Thugs. I remember you telling me that you had just finished doing a set. And you saw what's his name playing craps, so you fucking have to put him to the set and get your money before he loses it all.
And he lost it. Yeah. He came up to me and was like, "Dude, I lost your money playing craps out back. I apologize. I'll get it to you." Never gave it to me.
Who's this?
I can't. I don't. Don't even remember
comic,
his name.
Bro.
He was a black comic. Yeah. Dude, this other night, Robbie Perrone, this black comic, he was my roommate, and he brought some friend up from San Diego. This big black guy.
Yo, Dante, you have a cigarette.
Yeah, exactly. So this guy's sitting in the back of my car. Me and Robbie pull up to the Comedy Store. We park it right in front and go, will you guys watch the car? We're just running in to pick up our checks. We run inside. I come back out. My car's gone. And the guys are like, dude, don't worry. This other, I forget his name, this black comic just took your car. He's just running to the liquor store and he's going to come back. Sure. All of a sudden, we see my car coming down the street. It squeals out in the middle of sunset. The black comic runs out of the car and runs over to the Comedy Store screaming. And I go, what happened? He goes, dude, I drove to the liquor store. I get back in the car. I'm ready to turn. I look in the rearview mirror and there's a giant black guy in your back seat. He didn't know the guy was there. And the guy never told him the whole ride. He just went on a ride to the liquor store.
Damn.
He goes, so I screamed and got out of your car, dude.
Wake up call. Goddamn, dog.
You were there at the Comedy Store when there was a shootout, huh?
Yeah. Man, it was crazy.
Tell everybody how crazy Monday night open mic was.
It was crazy. Like, you would see chairs get thrown at people.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, there was this one comic. He was a doorman. He kept calling it nigger night.
Oh,
he was
my like, God. Brian Holtzman?
No. This guy quit comedy. Thank God. Because that's not what you say at Black Knight at the Comedy Store. But yeah, man, it was crazy. And then in the main room, there would be these cool shows. And that's like, back then, everyone was showing up. And I started that Tuesday room. You did that, right? Yeah. Upstairs. And we had like Snoop Dogg would show up every week and Dr. Dre and all these people. And I remember Tupac.
Farrakhan's son, too.
Oh, yeah. And what's his name? Tupac and Tretch from Naughty by Nature. I remember one night we're all so hanging out. And all of a sudden, there was a big shootout that night. Eddie Griffin had a bodyguard before he was even famous. Do you remember that? Some football player would just – I saw this football player just tackle him and carry him off the stage, and everybody scattered. It was crazy back then.
Wow. Like,
gangster rap days was, or even way before that?
The what?
Eddie Griffin, before all that?
Well, I mean, he had done like Def Jam, but he wasn't famous yet. He was like getting some movie deals.
He was just famous as
it was like
the
92,
guy
who, 91.
He was famous like the guy that you heard killing everywhere, huh?
Yeah.
He was just like, oh, he just came back from Long Beach Comedy Club, bro. Standing ovation, all white people, you know, like, you would hear that story.
All white people. Hilarious.
How did you get started? How did you get started, Rebecca?
I moved out here when I was 17 from Las Vegas, and then I was always acting, but I always wanted to do comedy my whole life. I just didn't know
her
how to
first
do it.
Audition. She landed like the starring role in a movie, and then she's been in like.
I've been
movie?
Very grateful. It's this. It's like a comedy series for gay men. It's called Eating Out, which sounds like lesbian porn, but it's not. They're like comedy movies for gay men, and so I was in a series of those
that were like the most popular comedy series for gay men ever.
Yeah, and then I just started. I was like, you know what, I'm just going to start doing comedy. And so I started writing and doing it. And then that's how we met. And here we are today.
Yeah.
You guys been married how long now?
We've been together for almost 10 years.
Yeah.
But we want to get married. It's just a matter of like
just like us.
It.
We were together eight. And our anniversary was yesterday. 10 years.
Aw, congratulations. Happy anniversary.
Yeah. Congratulations. That's exciting. But yeah, it's almost 10 years we've been together.
He's talking about the engineer, right?
The manager.
Yeah, congratulations. That's great.
So when did you decide to move out to LA? When did you say, fuck this, San Diego's too small?
When I felt like I was a big fish in a little pond, I knew I was going to go become a small fish again, but I didn't want to come up as an even smaller fish. So I just want to get really, really good and turn 21. Because I figured I fooled everybody in San Diego not being 21. I don't want to like take a chance, come up to LA because I know they're going to make me like sign new paperwork at the Comedy Store if I want to be a doorman or whatever. So I just waited till my 21st birthday and moved up.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
You helped a lot of young comics out because we had D. Militon here and we were talking about how D. Militon he used to have this comedy catalog where people could go find road gigs and promoters, pretty much save people 10 years of struggle.
Yeah.
To sell for $300 bucks, right?
Yeah, for $100. And then like, and I was telling D, like, if I, back then, you know, like, if I started off comedy, I would have paid those $100. Because like, you're saving years.
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 I would buy it from him.
Lot of
if he's still selling it, I'll buy it.
Shaggy had one.
Yeah. I'm sure it's a different list than what I have.
Right.
Yeah, but it's a good list. People don't understand that. This is like
Glengarry leads.
You can't give shit away.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're saving you heartaches. And then you were what's good about that, you guys will write down this the guy's personality. If he's shitty,
yeah,
he's shady.
Dude, have you ever played Stanford and Sons?
Oh my god. Yes.
Oh my god.
Isn't that the craziest experience?
Right?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Hey, all right, I've got Felipe Esparza here. I was there with Gabriel Iglesias, dude. And I was hanging out with Craig and his dad at his dad's
Stan.
House. Stan, right? He had a young wife, younger than you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the dad was running for mayor, okay?
This was a long time ago.
Wow. Yeah. The dad was running for mayor. And this is the dad telling a bunch of Mexican jokes, right? He's telling us jokes. The dad at the restaurant, he gets an apron. He gets a napkin. He puts it on the floor, on the table, and he sprays a bunch of pepper on it. He goes, you know what that is? He goes, that's the black
Million Man March.
That's the Million Man March right there. And then he folded it up. He goes, what is that? I said, I don't know. That's the Million Man March in line at KFC.
Oh my god.
And I'm thinking to myself, motherfucker, you running for fucking mayor, dog?
Oh my god.
Dude, these guys are so racist. Look.
Oh my god.
We actually like them and we enjoy playing there because it's
a train wreck.
It's a train wreck
to
watch.
We love to go just for the experience
right,
of
because they're nice guys and whatever, but they know what they're saying.
Is Craig trying to sell that vigilante story?
Oh, yeah. But I'm just saying, like, they know that they are saying fucked up shit.
They're like, thugs.
Right, oh, they're yeah, thugs. They like, are. These guys have all been to jail.
Right, oh, my God.
Do you know
all...
this club?
No, I've heard of it.
So, yeah, I mean, they've all
they're
been to jail
so
for...
They're all so racist because they were in prison, and they say the most fucked up shit you've ever heard in your life.
Look up Stanford like... and Sons cartoon. It's one of the funniest things you'll ever see as a comic. You'll get it right away, whether you've ever worked for them or not. It's just a funny cartoon about them. So they get who they are. They talk about how they went to jail. They even show like a bank robbery happening and like how it like went awry and the blue shit flew all over everybody. But it's really fucking funny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Stanford and Sons cartoon. I don't even know
don't
how
either.
To look it up.
They
but
made it themselves.
Yeah, they made it themselves. Yeah. Someone made it with them. And there's great – oh, my God – Barry Diamond is calling in on the cartoon, and they actually
and it's really Barry Diamond.
They recorded
like
they
used him his voice.
They recorded him calling in, and it would be Barry going, "Hey, you guys, I want a booking. I've been calling for 10 months. You don't ever fucking return my fucking calls." And he's like, "Call us back a different day. We're not doing bookings. Don't fucking hang up on me." Like it goes on, and like they hang up, and then all of a sudden you hear the phone ringing. Hello. Listen, you fucking hang up on me again. We're going to have trouble. Like, it just keeps going on and on. And finally, what does he say? He goes, "Fine, I'll give you a date. June 10th. Fine. Sorry I was yelling at you. Actually, June 10th doesn't work. Call me next week."
Man.
Rascal.
Stanford and Son had a comedy show. And then after the comedy show, the bottom turned into a nightclub. And I was hanging out with...
That's the old club. Yeah.
Yeah, with Kid and Play. He goes, "Man, I'm black, but that club turns black." He goes, "It turns into a Ludacris concert."
Wow.
He said it. And back then, like, the club was strict on the dress code compared to the comedy club. Like, there was people that wouldn't want to take off their hats. Like, no hat policy, bro.
Wow.
No hats, no jerseys.
Wow.
Wow.
Craig, that's right, man. I'm going to book you all week, doctor. Bring your woman. We're going to go out to dinner. We're going to have a great time, man. I'm going to tell you my vigilante stories.
Said, bring your woman.
The owner, he was like a vigilante, supposedly.
Allegedly.
He was robbing coke dealers, bro.
Right.
But except that
he would dress up like
a
cop. He would dress up like a cop and rob drug dealers. And one time he robbed the FBI. And that's where it went wrong.
Yeah.
Because the FBI was undercover.
That's a vigilante.
Yeah. Yes.
And
yeah.
They subpoenaed a lot of comics for that court case, by the way.
Really?
They did?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think Paul Rodriguez's name showed up.
Shucky
or
Ducky.
A lot of people's
Shucky
names
Ducky.
Showed up.
Quack, quack.
Yeah, wow. Bro, even Frank Manzano was there.
Your shadow. Your older shadow.
Oh, he was saying, God. "Just the other day.
Bye-bye, Grandma.
I took down the Alamo.
Dude, were you there?
Reclaim the Alamo. That gift shop will never be the same."
Were you there that night that Willie was running a room? I could swear you were on the show, and I had just got off stage, and Carlos Mencia walks into the room, and Willie puts him up on stage. His first joke out of his mouth was a joke Willie had just told 10 minutes earlier in the show, and the whole crowd booed and goes, "That's Willie's joke." And Carlos turns to Willie and he goes, "Hey, Willie, is that your joke?" And Willie's like, "Yeah, man." He's like, "Well, it's mine now. You got a problem with that?" And Willie's like, "No, you can have it." And that was that, dude. He goes, "I'm on TV, dude. I'm going to use it. So I can have it or not." He's like, "Yeah, you can have it." This was like 91, 92 when Willie, you know, wasn't fighting Carlos or it was crazy, man.
That was God. Before he learned the famous elbow, bro.
The famous godo, dog.
Didn't he choke somebody out?
Who? Willie?
At the improv?
Willie?
I think that guy from New York.
Who did? Who choked him out?
Is that when he showed up in his PJs?
No, Willie showed up. Some guy, he didn't like the intro the guy gave him, and then Willie elbowed him. He didn't go into court.
Really?
That was another before him.
That's way before.
Way
man,
before.
They got into a fight with Adam Hunter, too.
What?
This is the funniest story.
What?
Adam Hunter and Willie Barcena are fighting over a joke, right?
Yeah.
Because Willie Barcena said that Adam Hunter did his joke. While they're fighting, another comedian doing the same joke on stage.
For real? Oh my God, I love it.
But they don't know that.
The trifecta. Right.
So this is obviously one of those jokes that's easy to write. Probably topical or something. Yeah.
Who's going to build the wall?
Mexicans? Now, you know, something like that.
Right. Which I can't believe that that's the joke that Carlos was called out on. You know what I mean?
Because
that's like the easiest joke. If you had 50 comics in a room, half of them would have written that joke.
Everybody was doing that joke at that time.
Right.
George, too.
Yeah, Gabriel.
Everybody. Like, that's just where you go with the joke. Unbelievable.
So they were fighting, huh?
Yeah,
Willie
man.
Willie didn't fight him. So I know that Willie approached him later on. Later on, I was there when Willie approached him at the Laugh Factory. But, hey, bro, you did my joke, bro. And then he goes, what joke, bro? I thought it was my joke.
That's a good comeback. But I
thought it was mine, bro.
Back then, though, I heard Mattia would just straight kind of punk comics, right?
He would just tell them, I'm going to take it.
Or he'll go, or he'll bump you at the Comedy Store and do their 5 minutes and go on his stuff.
Dude,
and, like,
Frank
up their
Manzano,
shit.
All these other Latino comics from San Diego, he would come down there, see their stuff, and I shit you not, 6 months later, come back down and do it in front of them at the Comedy Store. And Fred Burns would call Mitzi and go, Mitzi, he just stole these, you know, the Star Trek bit from, you know, Johnny Rosas, blah, blah, blah. This bit from, you know, Frank Manzano, this bit from Renee Sandoval. And she would go, ah,
orale.
Yeah. And she'd go, there's nothing I can do about it. And he would just keep doing it.
And that's writing on big balls from like HBO and stuff, the first half hour special. Is that even before that?
Yeah, it was all before it.
Damn, dude.
Yeah, it was all before it.
Blatantly, huh? Just
blatantly.
Taking, damn, bro.
Blatant.
Like, I know that he'll sit up there and hear like 5 minutes, and then he'll turn that 5 minutes into 25.
Well, that was his, like, you know, the thing that was ahead of his time that he was doing, right?
Right.
He'll make your joke that was good the best, right?
Right.
Or better.
Well, it's like he said in that, you saw when he finally admitted it, right?
On that documentary.
He was on a documentary. He goes, people always ask me, do you steal jokes? He goes, I'm going to set the record straight right fucking now. Fuck yeah, I steal jokes. He goes, I'm like a sampler. I'm like a rapper, dude. If you tell a joke in front of me, I'm going to take your joke and make it better.
Yeah, he just says it.
Says
and you're
it,
like,
flat
what?
Out.
And no one, I mean, but the public doesn't care. People going to see him,
they don't know, man.
Right,
they just don't know.
Right, they don't get what a huge deal it is.
If you see that video between them and Rogan going back and forth, there's somebody in the audience going, but he does it better.
He does,
you know? And that's what, you know, he's kind of ahead of his time in that. So I'm not condoning stealing, but you know what I mean? Right.
I'm with you, dude. He's, you know, he like takes a joke and does make it better. He does.
Like, what are my things? He knows how to sell it, eh?
It's like you have two apples, but you know how to sell the apples to somebody who thinks there's four apples.
So basically, you take a good joke of Johnny Rosas, and then you add, what the fuck, fucker? And it becomes great.
What, eh?
Oh, no, one of his big old influences was Paul Mooney, right? Oh, like,
oh, yeah.
Fucking white people. That was a whole, you know, another,
oh,
you know.
Homie.
Another, yeah, well, I don't know what's going on with the little Latino niggas stealing my stuff, but that's
great. Oh, that's good.
That's great.
I'm the real motherfucker right here.
That's great,
that's
man.
Great.
Whatever, oh, fucker.
I used to love watching him walk crowds. Like, there's nothing more beautiful than
I
that.
Love
he loved it, huh?
He loved it.
I love watching him walk white people.
He would even
so
tell
amazing.
Them, just go. We don't need you anymore. We don't need you. Yeah.
Then on Thanksgiving, too, man, like, he walk homeless people out. Get out of here, stinky motherfucker. For real, man, there was these two homeless people fighting.
Dude, it's true.
They were fighting. Dude, there were these two homeless people fighting on the audience on Thanksgiving.
No.
Oh, you motherfucker fighting for you. Fighting for nothing.
Wow.
I died
over nothing. I know, dude.
Who's going to win? Nobody. You're nothing.
When I first moved to L.A., you know what he said to me?
Oh, my God. So
I came
brutal,
up to him,
bro.
And I go, see that guy over there? He wants to talk to you, dude. He's a big fan of yours. He goes, homie, listen, you're new. That dude is crazy. Stay away from crazy motherfuckers. And he turns and he goes, hey, crazy motherfucker, I don't need to meet you. And he just walked out. Like, wow.
Well, when
one
time Freddie Soto told me that the first time he met Richard Pryor, because he was driving Richard Pryor. And he tried to be like, yeah, I'm a comedian too. And Richard Pryor said, yeah, I guess Paul Rodriguez is trying to get his whole family in this game, huh?
Wow.
You ever met Richard?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We were friendly. I don't want to say we were like best friends or anything. We never went to a movie, but we hung out a lot. I got him on.
You saw him when he was walking on the woods?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I even opened for him sharp? And stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was great, man. Like, I loved Richard and we got along and whatever. But he was you remember that shitty sitcom I had on BET's Comic View? It was called The Blackberry Inn.
Wow.
It was terrible. Do you remember that?
You were like a maitre d' or something, right?
I was the handyman. Yeah, I was the handyman of the hotel. But Richard, wow. Paul Mooney was a writer for our show, and we called up.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
That's when BT was really black.
Yeah,
huh?
When it was still black, yeah.
I want to be on that show, bro.
Yeah. So we got Richard Pryor. It was his last appearance, was being on our sitcom. And the sad part was he was able to talk that week, but not the day we had him booked. So we had to scramble. And what we figured out was he had brought an assistant. We made the assistant pretend like he was talking into Pryor's ear, and Pryor would whisper to him, fake whisper, and the guy had to learn Pryor's lines. He was like, Mr. Pryor wants to say blah, blah, blah. It was sad, man. It was very sad. That's but that was his sad. Last TV appearance.
Damn, dude.
Yeah.
How was Luke? You were there when Luke Torres was tearing it up at the Comedy Store, right? Yeah,
he was a beast, right?
Right, he was a beast.
Willie said that he was a beast.
No, he was a beast.
He had Mercia scared.
Shaking in his boots.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
He was good looking.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And right, he had tons of musical stuff that he was doing. And, you know, times change. It's like you look back and even some material, like some of the stuff you guys were saying I used to do, I was like embarrassed at the beginning of the show. Who cares? But it's like, you know, like that stuff was killing. Like she always asked me, so what did that girl do? How was she so famous? I'm like, she would go up and sing. And she's like, really? And people like that? I was like, yeah, at the time, that was great. You know, go back and watch some old comics. It's like, it's hard to watch some of your heroes sometimes.
Right.
It is. Like, you go back and you watch something from like 92 and you're like, oh, you can't wait. I can't wait to show her. And then you watch it and I'm cringing the whole time. I'm like, oh, it's not that good anymore.
Yeah, yeah, it changes.
Yeah.
Nah, man, what's it about still funny to me, man?
Oh, thanks. I'll take it.
I would like the Lakers to win. How about that, huh?
Yeah, Jack Nicholson, dude.
Dante used to go to our room, and he probably like there was a handful of people that always kill, and Dante always killed at Wild Coyote. By the way,
oh yeah, I remember one time he talked shit at Casa Latina because the host was like doing a lot of time.
Who fly?
This fool gets
a
on
host
stage
at a Latino show doing a long time.
He's like, man,
Latino Keith Morris.
Enough with the fucking commercials, dude. Enough. What the fuck, man? And you went off on like 5 minutes, and then you went in, and that's when you had that little, you know, your joke at the time when your wife at the time was pregnant.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, dude.
Yeah, I talked about the ultrasound. In the ultrasound, there's this circle next to my baby, my daughter, who's now 13. And I go, I'm trying to figure out what it is. I was like, oh, my God. She's black, by the way. I was like,
yeah,
oh,
so you got some Family Feud.
Yeah. I was like, oh, my God, right. That little nit stole my ring.
That shit was fucking comedy.
What you guys doing now together?
We're doing all kinds of – we started our own company, Golden Artist Entertainment.
Oh, you're managing, right?
Yes, yeah. Dante's managing, and we're both producing
hell
movies.
Yeah,
thanks, man. Yeah,
which
it's
is great.
Great.
He has over 50 clients, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And they're all working, and they all – I got them all agents and publicists and
you
lawyers.
You and I have the same agent, huh, Maverick?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We were – and her too.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Her too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that guy, he held on to us till he left to Abrams, huh?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Is that where he is?
Totally.
Is he in Abrams or Gersh?
He fucking disappeared, bro. Didn't even say
he's
bye.
Like, do you know he didn't even say goodbye to us, and now he is agent of the year. Did you know that?
What?
Yeah, he just got agent of the year.
From who?
I don't fucking know. Whoever tells you you're agent of the year.
After I won Last Comic Standing, man, his career got high.
I know. And then he left you.
Yeah.
He left us.
Yes, totally. Not even.
You know, I've
texted
and called him 50 times. He hasn't returned one message.
No,
what was his name?
Jay
Schachner, yeah.
He just moved back to New York.
He did?
No.
Yes.
We saw him a month ago.
Oh, really?
No, I know, but he said, I just got a thing on Facebook. He was like, we're moving back to New York.
Huh.
Like,
how weird.
Who knows? Whatever.
When we were with this agent, Dante and I and Rebecca and Mr. Belvin, a lot of
didn't
people.
Didn't he start off as your manager too?
No, agent.
Oh, okay. He
started
was our
off
manager.
As Willie's manager.
Yeah,
no,
he was our manager
no.
too.
He was
Jay London.
He was Joey Coco's manager.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he went to become an agent.
Right.
He had all of us, man. He had Jay London.
He had like every last Comic Standing guy. It was him and Barry Katz took over everybody.
Yeah.
Maverick, man.
Good old Maverick.
I won last comic standing, and when I won last comic standing, Flip it, come over here. We have a present for you. And I get there, they buy me an iPad. Like, I'm a fucker, I can buy my own iPad. I still have the iPad.
Wow.
They got you an iPad. I love it.
I love it.
Our show kids were over at the comedy store, bro. I never got nothing.
Wow. Yeah, the company's good. We did a movie. It's called Unfallen. It stars me and Michael Madsen. I directed it. And we produced it. Mm-hmm. Rebecca was the main producer on it, and it comes out, I don't know, summertime or
something.
Still in it's a war movie. Yeah. It's not comedy.
You guys were in a, did you do a zombie vampire movie?
We're still working on it.
Yes,
we're working on that one.
That one's in pre-production.
Special effects look good on that one lady.
Oh, yeah. The zombie.
I'm excited about
that. Who's
doing
those special effects? Somebody.
We don't know. Well, it depends who's going to do special effects makeup, but the girl that did that for the promo,
she was phenomenal.
You wrote it, Rebecca, the movie, or
he and I both wrote it.
Yeah.
But that's coming from your Scream Queen.
Well, yeah, I've been in a lot of horror movies for sure. Terrible. Like the movies I'm in are so bad while I'm filming them.
But you're known for your screams?
Yeah. Allegedly. I can't. No, I'm not going to scream right here.
But she has starred in like 40 movies where she's the one who ends up killing the killer, and then she walks outside in the daytime all bloody and then walks down the street and the credits come up.
There's a magazine dedicated just for the sexy women who killed her.
Oh,
I know.
I used to be in it all the time.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's so crazy.
You won't have a lot of guys who look like me and Rodrigo following you.
Great.
Yeah, it's so crazy. Everything that she does, it's weird for women especially. If you type in her name, all of a sudden it comes up with like sword fighting. She was in a movie sword fighting. It's like hot chicks who've sword fought people. And then it'll show her like sword fighting some guy.
Right.
You type it in, it'll be like Rebecca Cochin feet. And all of a sudden now it's like all these shots of her feet.
I'm
in
on
movies.
All these weird foot fetish sites.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Fucking perverts out there.
Yeah.
It's weird, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
You must have a lot of fans, too, right, from the horror films?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's great, too. Like,
you go to Comic-Con?
Yeah, I've gone to Comic-Con and signed autographs. Like, I mean, you see these movies on Sci-Fi, and you're like, oh, these movies are so cheesy. But they have huge followings. Like, people love horror movies.
Like, who would have thought? Like, I bet, like, somebody came in there and said, let me tell you, man. I know you guys are going to think that I'm high or I'm on drugs, but I got a movie. Think about it. A tornado with sharks.
I know, dude. The company that produced all of her movies is the one that did that.
Yeah.
The Asylum. Yes. Yeah, The Asylum.
Yes. I mean, it's the best thing that ever happened to them.
There's three of them already, right?
There are four, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, there's four.
It's ridiculous how many people watch that movie. But they're huge. Like, they did huge business.
You know what else is nice? Speaking of, like, the internet and fans, her gay fans, she'll get fans that will write her from, like, China, where you're not supposed to be gay, or some, like, Saudi Arabia or whatever. And they'll be like, thank God for you. I feel normal. You've normalized this because where I live, I don't feel normal. And, like, you know, I hope to meet you someday, your biggest fan. But she gets those every day from somewhere around the world.
We're awesome. Spoiled because we're in L.A. and we forget that, you know, how shitty the rest of the world is.
Yeah, everybody's all jaded over here.
Right, exactly. Right.
You hear that, Bryce? Be proud.
We're mad when there's, like, a line at Starbucks.
Yeah, totally.
I'm going somewhere else.
Yeah.
What do you got coming up next?
So we are going to be at the
Denver Improv. The 20th through the 23rd. So if you're in Denver, come on out.
Of December.
Yes.
And then we're going to be at the Reno
Laugh Factory
inside the Silver Legacy. And that is the 27th through January 1st.
Yeah.
So join us on New Year's Eve.
Woohoo.
Woohoo. And then we're going to be at the Dirty at 12:30 on the 20th because we're down there for the AVNs.
That's Vegas, right?
Yeah, in Vegas because I manage Ron Jeremy and a bunch of other clients, so we always go for the AVNs. Plus, she hosted it, so everybody likes when she comes back.
Where's the Dirty at 30?
That's a South Point, right?
South Point. Yeah. Vegas. You've done it, right?
No, I never done it. That was Dan Gabriel?
No, Gabe Lopez.
Gabe Lopez.
He's great. Yeah. He's great.
He's been doing that show for a while now. Shout out.
Shout out to Gabe Lopez. Lopez. Yeah,
yes,
he's a great dude.
Dirty show at 12:30. I haven't been there. The last time I was there, I was doing the place where Edwin is right now.
Oh, what place?
Planet Hollywood.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Is he doing his own show?
Yeah.
It's a nightly show.
Oh, wow. Good for him.
Awesome.
Yeah. 9 p.m.
Go say hi to him.
Yeah. Good for him.
He's there all Monday. Man, he does 7 shows a week.
Every day of the week.
Wow.
That's great. Good for him.
They got him working like a migrant worker. Do you guys do all your shows together as a couple? Do you ever, like, get, like, you know, the old jokes, bro? Like, what if we got to break up? Does she get to do the material on weekends? It was custody over the good jokes. You keep the Wizard of Oz.
Custody yeah, over the good jokes.
I'd say we work together 80% of the time, right?
Yeah, sometimes I do shows, you know.
She goes off by herself and I do some, you know. Yeah. The other thing that I'd like to promote, I'm sorry. We've run the biggest comedy contest in LA for 12 years and it's just started last week. We are running through February 9th. If people want to sign up, go to goldenartistsentertainment.com. There's a page called Comedy Contest or Contest.
Yep.
They can go there to figure it out. But it's a great contest. And, like, Anthony Jeselnik won it. It's a legit, like, you know, I'd love if you came out and were a judge, man.
What's the name of the contest?
So it's called the Funniest Comic in L.A. Contest.
Not to confuse with the funniest comedy in the world. With Jay Masada. How the fuck you fucking even judge that shit, dog?
Right. Right. Funniest in the world.
There's some guy from India one, bro.
Yeah. Is that true?
He juggles cats. You still ever go to the Laugh Factory?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, we're playing the Laugh Factory in Reno.
That's right.
But I don't even hardly go to these clubs in town, do you? It's like it's like we're on the road so much, aren't you? It's like once you're in town, it's like I don't want to go, you know, make $15 somewhere.
That's right. It is still $15.
Right. And just hang out. Like I've already hung out. I did that for, you know, we did that for 20 years.
I know, man. I don't understand about like going out like to do a comedy spot. And I see these comics who are like 47, 49 years old and now 50. You know, you're already a millionaire.
Right.
You're already a fucking millionaire. Why are you bald ass? Hanging out with the young comics boy.
Right. And why are you just hanging out at the store every night?
I know you're married already. You're 52, bro. Right. Stop hanging out with the young comics.
I get bored at home.
I'm trying to get pussy, bro. I know I'm fucking 50, bro. I'm trying to get laid too, you know? I'm trying to take an open mic home.
Wow.
Give her the bone.
Like, you see, like, these old comics hanging out right there, man? Like, it's embarrassing, man. It's like, really, man? You're gonna. I know. The girl you're standing with is 20, bro. She's as old as your daughter.
I know. When you see that, you're like, "Come on, dude, what's going on?"
Then you want to go. Then you want to be there now.
You're like, "So is this like an every night thing?" All right.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. So, where people can get a hold of you at?
Well, you can follow us on Twitter. My name is Rebecca Cochin. So you can follow me at Rebecca Cochin.
Spell it.
It's complicated. It's the Jew way. Rebekahkochan. Don't even try to find it. And you can find Dante at comicdante.com. You can go to our website, goldenartistsentertainment.com.
That's artist with an S.
Yes.
On Twitter, I think I am Dante the Comic. Is that right?
Yes, you are.
And then on Instagram, I'm Comic Dante. That's what I always get confused.
Give us some Wizard of Oz before you go.
I would like a heart. Not a big heart. A little heart.
Not a baboon heart.
Not a baboon heart. Did Bobcat go and close in? No, that was Bobcat.
Dude, I did. No, Gilbert.
Gilbert Gottfried. Gilbert
Gottfried. Yeah. Dude, I did Bobcat in front of Bobcat. I even asked him. I was like, "Hey, can I do this Wizard of Oz thing? It has you in it." And he's like, "Yeah, yeah, do it." And then I did it. And then he was a dick on stage.
He
got bummed.
Dude, he went up on stage and he's like, I forget what he said.
He said, I do an impression of Dante, but no one knows who he is. That's
right.
What he said.
Like a dick.
Oh, what a dick.
I was like, what the fuck?
This was after I asked. I was like, dude, I don't have to do it. I just thought I would like to do it because you're here. Like, you know,
like,
whatever.
It was just a douche move.
Right.
How did you do it?
Tricky.
Ah, well, look.
Did the Dice Man ever know about the end of Dice Man?
Oh, yeah. Good Dice Man,
was he cool?
Oh, here's the thing. Dice, there was one night, dude, and this is like legendary at the Comedy Store. There was one night this one girl, she's looking around outside. Me and Dice are standing there with a bunch of other comics. And Sergio Love, remember him, the black comic? He's getting out of his car and she turns to all of us and she goes, "Me lucky charms! Me lucky charms!" Yes. She turns to us and goes, "Is that Eddie Murphy?" And this comic goes, "No, that's not Eddie Murphy." But he's like, "If you look right behind you, that's Andrew Dice Clay." And she looks and it's me and Andrew Dice Clay talking to each other. And she turns around and she comes up to me and she's like, "Dice, I am the biggest fan of yours." to me. And Dice just starts laughing. I'm like, hey, stupid, shut up and go get me a soda. So Dice leaves and gets me a soda. He comes back, Mr. Dice, here's your soda. We took this all night. They even called him up on stage. And they were like, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Andrew Dice Clay. He stood in back and I went up on stage as him and started doing his show. And this girl is just freaking out. She's taking pictures all night. She wants to go home with me because I'm Andrew Dice Clay. But it went on for like 2 or 3 hours. All the waitresses were in on it. Only the crowd was not laughing at me while I was on stage because they were so mad that I was saying I was Andrew Dice Clay and I wouldn't break character. It was, I don't know, it was weird. It got weird.
What's up, fool? We got Dante Rebecca here, man. Hell, we're going to have this fool back.
Fuck yeah. We better scratch the surface right
here. Surface right here on some shit we know.
You guys are so funny, by the way.
You guys are hilarious. I haven't laughed this hard in
me
so
either.
Long. Like, yeah,
most of the time you're on a
me.
Podcast and you're like falling asleep. And,
totally.
You guys are hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
We're not trying to do material, bro.
But you've always been funny to me.
Thank you.
Really, I remember.
Give some Willy, bro.
No, you
hey,
guys are so
bro.
Funny.
Hey, bro, thanks for coming on the show, dog. Oh, shit.
Wow, I love it, man.
Wow.
Holy
some
shit.
Some devil, bro.
Hey, dog, make sure you guys come out to fucking Claremont fucking Flappers Comedy on December 29th, dog. Check out that Rigo and his homies, dog. Why are you making fun of me, dog? I've always been cool to you, dog. Just a fucking homage, cocksucker. Relax.
Amazing. Man, that's amazing.